Recently, the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife unanimously approved an update to the State Wildlife Action Plan. The plan serves as a required roadmap for protecting vulnerable species and keeping the state eligible for federal funding. The number of species the agency now considers of greatest conservation need has climbed to more than 300. Joining the exchange to help us learn more is Dr. Shristi Kamal, Deputy Director of the Western Environmental Law Center. Welcome, Dr. Kamal.
Hi, Mike. Thank you for having me.
So tell me more about this list that's produced by the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife.
So the State Wildlife Action Plan, or commonly known as the SWAP, is a federally mandated document that each state is required to prepare in order to be eligible for certain federal grants. And what it is essentially a blueprint for a state of the species and habitats in the state that is of greatest conservation needs, meaning these are species that are in peril, these are habitats that are threatened, and if there are no interventions or recovery efforts, then they will continue to decline and basically head towards extinction.
So what are some of the notable species on the list?
That's a good question. It is, unfortunately, a really long list. We would have liked it to be shorter, but we have about 321 species in this particular draft of the SWAP, and this includes anything from species that you're very familiar with, like the great gray owl or the northern spotted owl, but also this time around, new species got included, such as the California condor, as well as sea otters, and these were species that were not previously on the list. So in the last iteration of the SWAP, we had about 294 species listed, and this iteration, we have 321 species.
So when you say iteration, how often is the list updated?
That's a good question. The SWAP is revised once in every 10 years. So it's not a very fast revision process. Last time around was 2015. This time we have our next iteration of the plan. And as you know, a lot can happen in a matter of 10 years when we talk about climate and other human-caused pressures on our wildlife and habitats.
So how do we know the state of the habitat and life of all of these different species? How do we know that?
This is information that Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife internally, of course, generates, but they rely heavily on partners, educational institutions, conservation groups, and others who work on monitoring and maintaining habitats, as well as monitoring certain species. So this data is essentially sourced in-house as well as from external partners or who they call technical experts, weigh in during the process of the revision. So the revision process is pretty intensive. For ODFNW, it lasted close to, I think, 9 months. And they had an expert interview, expert revision process, and then they opened it up to public comments for the general public to weigh in. And the version that has been finally approved by the ODFNW Commission is the one that incorporates all the feedback and information they received throughout the process, in addition to what ODFNW also monitors on their own, that at their own end.
Well, it sounds like a pretty important process and fairly broad base and likely costly. But now we have lower funding and funding cuts that are reducing the capacity for us to know what's going on.
It is such a good point there, Mike, because that is the problem we are facing with both generating the SWAP, but also in the implementation of the SWAP. So as I mentioned, one of the reasons the state generates the SWAP is to be eligible for certain federal grants. Now, at this time, those grants have essentially been zeroed out. So there is almost no dedicated funding coming into the state moving forward to help implement this plan. Historically, this plan has not received any state's fund that's directly at the plan. So ODFNW, of course, receives general grant funds from our state, but none of it is directed towards the SWAP directly. So that means currently our SWAP has zero funding, whether it's federal or state, that's dedicated for the swap. And a plan is only as good as the funding to implement it.
Well, there's the old adage, you measure what you value and you value mm-hmm. what you measure. And so apparently you're measuring these animals and what's happening to them in their lives because you value that. But if the federal government doesn't value what you measure, then where are we? What happens if there's no funding?
That's the question we are grappling with right now, Mike. And this is where we are urging Oregon to step up to this challenge. As I mentioned, Oregon has historically not funded this plan through state general funds, and that is likely to be the case moving forward as well, because general funds are always in high demand for the various critical issues in the state. So what we are looking for at the state level is a consistent dedicated funding source for the swap. And this is not a new conversation. This is a decade-old conversation that has been happening at the legislature in Oregon, and how do we fund our species that are not necessarily hunted or fished? And that's about 88% of Oregon's species are not hunted or fished. And so with that, we have no funding coming in for these species. And the legislature and various groups and stakeholders have historically looked at many funding sources and tried to identify a dedicated funding source. And one that we have gravitated towards is the state's transient lodging tax. It's a tax you pay when you are staying at a hotel or doing any sort of tourism-related activity. And our Oregon State Transient Lodging Tax currently is
Dr. Kamal, we lost you for a second. So if you could just back up.
I'm sorry about that.
It's not your fault. You just back up just about 10 seconds of what you were saying and repeat it, please.
Absolutely. So we are looking at the state transient lodging tax as a possible alternative to having a dedicated funding source for implementing the swap in Oregon. The state transient lodging tax in Oregon currently is 1.5%, which is the third lowest in the country. And there's been a proposal in last legislative session, which was the 2025 session, to increase the straight transient lodging tax by 1.25% and dedicating 1% of that specifically to implement the swap. We are calling it the 1% for Wildlife campaign. And that would really address the critical need we have in our state that is so highly dependent on our outdoors for recreation and tourism to invest back into these resources.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Dr. Srishti Kamal, Deputy Director of the Western Environmental Law Center. And we're talking about this challenge of funding, but we're talking about funding the eyes and ears for data collection, which is really important, and this swap is really important. But it's growing. The number of species that are put onto this list every decade or so continues to grow. And that seems ominous to me. And what I'm looking at is if we're reducing the funding or eliminating the funding just to collect the data, have eyes and ears on the ground, what's being done to protect these species? Where's that funding?
And that goes back, that's an excellent question, Mike. And that goes back to the swap again, because the swap can identify conservation actions you can take to help in recovery of the species. So in addition to identifying the species that have the greatest conservation needs, they can also identify conservation actions that needs to be taken to put them on the path to recovery again. And again, without any funding for the swap, there is no funding for those conservation actions either. And for us, as conservation groups that work actively in the recovery of imperiled species in the state, that is the key part of the swap that we are very focused on and would like to see supported through funding at the state level. With no federal funding and with no general funds, this document is only going to be a document with no action items coming out of it if we have no funding. And so we are really urging the state this time around to step up. Our 1% for Wildlife campaign is going to be back again in the 2026 legislative session. We have legislators who strongly believe in this concept and want to support it. And we would love to see Oregonians come up in support of this concept as well.
Okay, well, I have a very critical question for you. If the list of endangered species in our environment continues to grow, at what point is the point of no return? And aren't humans going to someday be on that list if we keep ignoring it?
That's a really good question. It goes back to a philosophy at my organization we believe in, which is the ecology of kinship, which basically says we're interconnected. And so whatever happens to our natural communities outside of the human communities will impact our human communities as well. And their decline is eventually our decline as well, whether it's in the quality of life or eventually other basic necessities we have to just sustain life. And so, yes, any species that goes on the extinction or on the Endangered Species Act list is very, very excessively expensive to bring back from that state to being a non-endangered species. So the best return on investment is to invest in species recovery and conservation before they end up on the Endangered Species Act. The swap is the step before the Endangered Species Act. So if we invest in the swap, we might be able to prevent species from getting onto the Endangered Species Act, where there is almost a certainty that they are going to go extinct if we don't do very strong conservation actions that are often very expensive. So 100% agree with you that the cost of conservation only increases as these species go higher in the endangered or critically endangered list. So what we are trying to urge the state to do is invest early so that they don't have to invest more later.
And what percentage of these 300 plus species on the list are keystone species?
That's a really good question. It's pretty significant, I would say. We don't have a percentage number to say, but just looking at the list from gray wolves to owls to salamanders and amphibian species that are super important to their ecosystems, there are several species here that are considered keystone species. Sea otter, another one of those. There are several bat species. There's wolverine on it. So there's so many species that are holding the thread in their ecosystem and keeping other species in balance, providing the resources other species need, as well as humans need. And without them, our ecosystem just falls apart. So a lot of those species are on that list.
Okay, we have about 30 seconds left. What can ordinary people do about this slow-moving crisis?
It is slow, 100%, and it's not very visible. But it is a problem in Oregon. Extinction isn't something that's happening far away. It is happening in Oregon. And we want Oregonians to maybe speak up to their decision makers and make it a priority for them. Let their legislators know that this is something you care about and want them to address.
Fantastic. That's all the time we have. Thank you, Dr. Kamal.
Thank you so much for having me, Mike.